Actually, Ernie really likes that John Wayne bobber check, doesn't he?
He can't get enough of the John Wayne bobber gear.
Okay, that was Simple Minds just before Ern there with Glittering Prize. It's Martin Malloy, and because it's Friday, it's time to award this week's Fumio, a special award we hand out to the person whose behaviour has supplied us with the most material over the last week. And Mick, I believe there's been some sort of confusion about it this week.
Yes. Well, Tom, when the nomination forms came in, there was only one.
Really?
Which is, which was surprising. But I had a look at the ballot form, and the only name on it was Saddam Hussein.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the question just said, do you support Saddam Hussein as this week's Fumio winner?
Oh.
And so, as such, the only nominee this week is Saddam Hussein.
Great, and who might the winner be?
All right, well, who could it be? Let's see if we can't work it out. The winner is... Oh, my God, I don't believe it. Saddam Hussein.
What an upset.
Yes, a man who, amongst other things, just loves the races, especially if there's only one horse in it. He's won this week's Fumio with a massive 99.96% of the vote. He's on the line now. Saddam, are you there?
Oh, my God, I don't believe it. I won the Fumio. Oh, it's so unexpected. I had no idea. I'm overwhelmed. This has come out of the blue for me, like my election win.
What? You didn't think you were going to win the election?
No, I couldn't believe it. I was caught completely unawares. I hadn't even prepared a speech. I started crying. I had one of those shocked expressions on my face, you know, like Miss Universe.
Right. So when you won the election, you looked a bit like Miss Universe.
Yes, I did. Of course, quite by accident, when the result came through, I was wearing high heels and a bathing suit.
Okay, you're not dressed like that now, I hope.
No, right now I'm wearing a slinky little black number and no underpants.
Really?
Yes, Mick, the waif look is in.
I see.
You should see my son, Uday. He's running around in a G-string yelling, I'm a dancer, not a stripper, damn it.
So, Saddam, how do you intend to celebrate this, well, unexpected victory?
The way we always celebrate. I plan to shoot bullets into the air, like this. That's what we do, because we're mad. You should try it in Australia. If John Howard wins the next election, I want to see him on the steps of Parliament with a big cigar in his mouth, shooting bullets into the air like a maniac.
All right, Saddam, now...
Hey, here comes my son, Uday. Uday, I want to fool you. Come here, help me celebrate. No, Uday, in the air. Uday. Ah, you shot me in the ass, you idiot.
Saddam Hussein, thanks for your time.
Look, you've ruined my dress.
All right, you...
From the first day I saw her, I knew she was the one. She stared in my eyes and smiled. For her lips were the color of the roses that grew down the river, all bloody and wild. On the second day I brought her a flower. She was more beautiful than any woman I've seen. I said, do you know where the wild roses grow, so sweet and scarlet and free? On the last day I took her where the wild roses grow. She lay on the bank, the wind light as a thief, and I kissed her goodbye, said all beauty must die. And I leant down and planted a rose between her teeth.
My name was Eliza Day. For my name was Eliza Day.
That's Nick Cave and Kylie Minogue here on Martin Malloy. And what did you think of that particular duet, Ernie Segley? Yes, and Ernie's own album of murder ballads is in the shop next week.
Hey, mums and dads, missing the high life? Desperate for a night of romance but don't know what to do with the kiddies? Then give us a call here at the Martin Malloy Babysitting Service. You can let your hair down until the wee hours of the morning, secure in the knowledge that the littlins are safe and sound under the watchful eye of those two model father figures, Mick and Tone.
Okay, kids, who wants to watch a video?
Okay, now you don't really want to watch Free Willy, do you? Uncle Mick's got a video. Put it in. Okay, get comfy, kids. Oh, what's that? It's the man who cleans the pool. Ooh, and that must be the lady of the house.
What are they doing?
Oh, I'm not quite sure myself.
Not only do Mick and Tone make sure the kids are well looked after, they go to great lengths to make sure they're thoroughly entertained.
Hey, kids, want to play a game?
Yeah!
All right, it's called Let's Find the Key to the Liquor Cabinet. Ready? Go! 1, 2, 3, 42, 43. Found anything, kids?
I found this brick.
That'll do. I bags the cognac.
The team at the Martin Molloy Babysitting Service are your eyes and ears for the evening, and their years of experience make them perfect for that special child who needs extra care and attention.
What's wrong, little Trev?
The others aren't playing with you.
Well, we'll see about that. Kevin, come here. Give your brother a turn running around like a lunatic with the scissors. Come on, you've had him for hours.
Aww.
You heard me. Come on. There you go, Trev. Oh, look at him go! Oh, watch the stairs, Trev! Oh, dear kids.
They'll take your kids on a bit of an outing.
Mick, where have you been? You left for McDonald's hours ago.
Sorry, Tone. I dropped in at the casino on the way back. Had a few drinks, so I caught a cab home.
Oh, where are the kids?
Oh, no! I left them locked in the car!
So give us a call at the Martin Molloy Babysitting Service and have a yak to Mick and Tone, because they're both just big kids at heart.
Hi, Mick. Hi, Tony. How were they?
Oh, fine. Everyone was great, although there was one little accident when someone went toys in their pants.
Oh, it wasn't little Timmy, was it?
No, it was Mick, I'm afraid.
It wasn't number two.
Martin Molloy on SAFM.
Martin Molloy, Radio Gladiators is coming up soon, and then in the next hour, our guest today is Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady from the Brady Bunch. But, of course, that's only one of the many colours on her entertainment palette, Mick Molloy.
Absolutely.
I think she's touring around doing a bit of a club act.
Yeah, she's had a finger in many a pie.
Yeah.
And currently doing the club act. She's done stage. She's done film.
I hope it's not a raunchy club act. It's not a blue act, is it?
I wouldn't think so.
It's not Florence Bloody Henderson, is it?
No. It's much more tasteful than that.
Okay. Me. Well, we can.
And you know that too, so behave yourself.
Now, right. What are you doing? What are you preparing over here?
Well, I'm about to launch something pretty special. Basically, you know what we get? We get a lot of feedback on our show, and most of it I can't repeat. But one thing that keeps coming up is a lot of people listen to our show in the car, and they're driving home from work, and they're stuck in traffic. They're in the peak hour traffic, and you know what that can be like.
They're in a jam.
They're in a jam, and there's not much happening. And they seem to say, well, your show's good because it kind of distracts us from what's actually going on sometimes, and it makes it easier for us. And I thought, well, damn it, we aren't doing enough. We can do more than that.
For people stuck in traffic.
For people stuck in traffic, listen up, because this can soon use. We're about to launch our brand-new Windows Down 95 campaign, and it's very simple. What you do at this point, people, if you're in your cars, is you wind your windows right down, and you turn your radio right up, and we're going to help you along. We're going to express those things you want to express. So you just kick back, enjoy, windows down, volume up, and let us do the work for you.
Okay, so it's windows down now. Okay, they're getting the windows down. Mm. And now, volume up about now. Here we go. Okay,
you're on.
Hey! Hey, buddy! Move it, will ya? I'm not here for a haircut! Come on! What is this? Bush week? Hey! Any chance of an indicator? It's not an ornament, you clown! Yeah, that's right, clown! Hey! I'm talking to you, you big dopey bastard! Is that your head, or is that piece of crap you're driving just deployed its airbag? Hey! You know how you can make that car look a lot better? Attach a pipe to the exhaust pipe and run it round through the driver's window, you pill!
How about that?
Okay, volume's down now. Volume's down. And just get out of there real quick.
I think that's right.
Run a red light. How was that?
That was good. What about something more specialised? Like, say you're next to somebody who's in a brown car.
All right.
Something like that. If you're next to someone in a brown car, just, okay, window down now. Volume up down now.
Hey, you! In the brown car! Yes, that eyesore! What do you say when you get up every morning and go to work? To the turnmobile!
him down.
That's great. Mm. And I think we've really done a public service here
today. That's just a launch.
Yeah.
We can do that again any time.
What say you just want to convince people that you're driving home with a celebrity? Like, so, okay, wind the window down now and you can just act like you're in a car with Ernie Sigley. It sounds a bit like this.
Probably.
Are people impressed? I don't think so somehow.
This is Martin Malloy.
I'm through with
them. Hi, this is Phil O'Neill. Call now, 11cm Hot 30 Countdown.
It's Martin Malloy, the program that's calmed down a bit, and it's time for...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
The program that's been told to take a tablet and have a bit of a lie down.
Here's a nice, simple challenge today. We've got Florence Henderson in the next hour, of course, from the Brady Bunch. Now, correct. We all know the Brady Bunch. We all know the storylines from Always episodes. Mm-hmm. What we want you to do is call up and give us a bit of a synopsis for a sitcom about your family.
Your own family.
So it might be The Malloy Bunch.
The Malloy Bunch.
And just have we got some sort of sitcom-y music there, Gracie? So this week on The Malloy Bunch...
Well, there's trouble in town as another restraining order is replaced on Mick by his mother. So then my only chance of appearance would be in a spin-off, Tone, because I would be separated completely from the rest. What about the Tony Martin Bunch? Well, that'd just be like, from what I've seen of your family, a rerun of the Munsters.
Yes.
Have you got something?
Well, let's have a go. This week on the Martin Bunch, Mrs. Martin once again asks Tony when he's going to get a proper job. And that'd just be every episode.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Well, those are pretty crap.
They were
so
really crap.
We want you to call up with your example of a sitcom about your family. Mm-hmm. And if it's any good, you know, maybe it could become the next Brady Bunch.
Next Brady Australia. Bunch. Mm-hmm. And they'll be writing a jingle about you.
And there is a prize. Let's just mention that. It's a Sony Ghetto Blaster. It's courtesy of 4 and 20 Pies. Mm. And were the 4 and 20s in the Brady Bunch? I can't remember.
No, but I think I'd like to see a sitcom. Or not a sitcom, but a little family show like that based around a family of 4 and 20 Pies.
Yeah.
And you could, like the Brady Bunch, you just have, here's the story of a meat pie, a 4 and 20, and in the little boxes you just have 4 and 20s looking at each other. Some looking up, some looking down, maybe one with sauce.
And Dad. Then Sam the Butcher would come in.
Oh, well, no, he makes the pies.
He makes the pies.
Yeah, he's the pie maker.
Yeah.
He owns the company.
And you wonder why none of our pilots have ever got the go-ahead on commercial television.
I can see it. A show based around 4 and 20 pies. Everyone would watch.
Yeah, it's another winner. I'll just call up Kerry Packer now, shall I?
I'm telling you, Logie Knight, you're going to see a 4 and 20 pie on stage going, I'd like to thank yous all. Sorry, Dieter, you get the silver again. I'm a pie, I win.
Okay, in a very low-cut dress.
Ooh,
fair enough. And do I need to mention that everybody who wins a competition on Martin Malloy, be it International Lunchbox or Radio Gladiators, I think for this week, and is it maybe the next 3 or 4 weeks, goes into the draw for the Ford Festiva. It's a proper car, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. Call us up now with your idea for a family sitcom based on your family on 1-800-657-657. This is Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. Today the challenge, well, could your family be the basis for a Brady Bunch-style sitcom? That's what we're asking today because we've got Florence Henderson in after the news. Introduce the family's Mick Malloy.
Well, firstly, we've got Leonie on the line. Hello, Leonie. Oh, probably Matthew. Pardon me. Well, there's the first mistake. Hello, we got you there now, Matthew? No, Matthew?
That's the invisible family. The invisible bunch. Let's have a stab at Leonie. Leonie, what is your sitcom called?
The Greens.
Oh, The Greens, because obviously your family are The Greens. Okay, we're going to give you the music, and you just explain what this week's episode is all about. Here we go. Take it away, Leonie.
Well, The Greens are off this week to go through Melbourne on a tour of the Opie Bins, and then we'll be going to St Vincent's. And the Green family are Talia, a suicidal 13-year-old who listens to Nirvana, an overweight 11-year-old who does nothing but eat, a 30-year-old mum who sits around and smokes and swears, a hyperactive 8-year-old, and a very, very annoying 4-year-old.
I see. And where does Leonie fit into this picture? I reckon she's
mum.
About to take for them all.
I'm the swearing mum.
Oh, you're the swearing mum. Oh, dear. So you're giving yourself a good role. Nice meaty role. So yeah. Really, this segment today is just a bit of therapy for you, isn't it, Leonie?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, we're glad to help. And let's move on to our second sitcom. And whose is it, me? We've got Joe on the line. G'day, Joe.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
All right, Joe. And what's the name of your little sitcom?
It's not me, but it's... Sort of. It's the Hinopolis family.
The Hinopolis family. Okay, well, I'm afraid we don't have possibly the correct kind of music for that sort of sitcom, but we'll give you what we do have. And take it away, Joe.
Okay, the dad has his normal Greek job at ACTW.
Yeah.
The mum, she's in the kitchen all day. The son is discovering hair in certain places.
You're right.
The 8-year-old daughter is too, coming from a Greek family.
Steady on, Joe.
And they've got the dog who just, like, is lying on the ground all day, doesn't do nothing.
Yeah.
That's about it.
He'd be lying on concrete out the back, wouldn't he?
Yeah, or in the salami cellar, I don't know, somewhere.
In the salami cellar. And he's discovering fur in unusual places, no doubt. Okay, well, that's not bad. That's not bad at all, in fact.
All right. Well, we'll keep motoring on. I take it we've lost Matthew completely, is that right? Let's have another go. Hello, Matthew!
Nah, that was just Matthew's sitcom is well, it's one of those silent ones from early years.
No, Matthew's family is in the witness protection scheme, and it's just a series of empty rooms every week.
You wouldn't be tuning into that, would you? Okay, well, let's scoot right down the bottom of the line. See if we can go to Michael. Hello,
g'day, fellas.
How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
That's the way. Now, the name of your sitcom based around your family is called.
The Baldy Bunch.
The Baldy Bunch.
That's right.
Why would that be? Your surname's not Baldy, is it?
No, that's correct. Not Baldy, but my dad and my brother, we're all pretty bald.
You mean your dad, you mean Mr. Baldy?
Mr. Baldy, that's right, yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy, he's had a hankering to see him in a sitcom.
Here we go. Here's the music. And tell us about this week's episode of The Baldy Bunch.
Well, coming up this week on The Baldy Bunch, well, in most episodes, Dad comes home and brings home a couple of hats for his boys, and he brings the same hat for himself, and they all pop on the hats. We've also got the Christmas special coming up, and we all wear our Christmas hats, and that's an exciting time of the year. And then we've got the family vacation. We don't go to Hawaii. We go to Moscow, and we wear the big fury hats, and that's a great title.
Okay. And the whole series ends on the cliffhanger when one of the family members, we're not sure who, goes off to the advanced hair studios.
Yeah, and that's where
it's left for the year.
Okay, well, I quite like the Baldy Bunch.
I'm leaning towards the Baldy Bunch.
But I tell you what, just for consistency, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew, are you there?
He could pull it off.
Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
I just like hearing
it's
that.
It's getting better and better, isn't it?
It's
starting to grow on me.
It's kind of peaceful and ambient and new age. Mm. But it's not our winner. Who is our winner today?
Our winner is Michael with the Baldy Bunch.
Michael, you and your bald family will be listening to music on the Sonny Ghetto Blaster from here on in.
Fantastic. We'll get some therapeutic music, maybe we can grow some hair.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, if you have any success, you give us a call and we'll pass that information on to Mr. Matthews and he'll put it to good use. Okay, well, thanks for... And, of course, you've also gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva.
Sensational.
It's the baldest car on the road. And thanks for playing Radio Gladiators, one and all. We'll be back with another session on Monday, but stick around, people. In the next hour, we'll be joined by everybody's favourite TV mom, Florence Henderson.
A special treat.
And in this hour, Tom and Full. But next up, we're talking to Florence Henderson, her own self, all thanks to the Telstra MobileNet Digital Bunch.
We now return you to abnormal programming. Martin Malloy.
Oh, letter A.
This is Martin Malloy. It's the second hour, Mick, and our guest today, it doesn't matter what I say about her, to most of us, she'll always be simply one Carol Brady, won't she?
I'm a little dreamboat.
She's currently in Australia, touring round with her club act. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Florence Henderson. Florence, thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I mean, I've heard so much about you guys, and I would love to be able to see you in person.
Well, we've sent some photographs up, but I think they're of a couple of the blokes from Melrose Place, so they're slightly deceptive. Now, Florence, how's the tour going?
Oh, the tour is going fabulously. I wish you guys could catch us. We're going to be Saturday night, actually, in Canterbury, Hurlstone, and Sunday in Etalong. Don't you love to say that?
Florence, we've done all these clubs that you're doing. We did the tour just recently. In fact, I hope we didn't leave too much of a mess.
Well, actually, there was one place that they did tell me that Mick and Tony had been there, and they had to re-shellac the floor.
Oh, yes. We tried to keep that out of the press.
And where's that? That's probably the hotel you're staying at, is it?
Now, Florence, what is the Florence Henderson Show? What exactly do you do in this act?
Well, hopefully entertain the hell out of the audience, but we sing all kinds of music. Wayne Cornell opens the show, then I come out and I sing all kinds of music. It's kind of a journey of my career, and we do Broadway, country. We tell a lot of funny stories. And of course, the part you'd like, because maybe you guys would want to borrow some of them, some gorgeous gowns.
It's not a little bit showgirls, is it?
Actually, they're quite lovely, and people seem to get a big kick out of seeing Florence Henderson. It does not come out as Carol Brady.
Okay.
She talks about her, but you know, it's definitely Florence.
And how do Florence and Carol get on these days?
They get on very well because they've been together for so many years, and looks like they're going to be together forever.
You come from a family of 10 kids yourself, is that right?
That's right. I'm the youngest of 10 children,
now,
yes.
What was the Henderson bunch like? Any parallels?
Not a bloody bit. So opposite. We were such a poor, we got along well, but we were an extremely poor family. We didn't have anybody to help us, and certainly not, we didn't have an Alice. And sometimes some of the family wasn't there, to put it mildly. But I think the one basic value that we shared was that my family to not take what didn't belong to us, not to steal, no matter how hungry we were, and not to lie.
And the braces are okay.
Yeah, no, you know what? Thank God, all my brothers and sisters, we had straight teeth because there was no money for straightening that out, you know.
Did you have a teeter-totter in the backyard?
We had nothing. No teeter-totter, no.
Out here, it's called a seesaw. You say teeter-totter to somebody in the street here, and you're likely to get punched.
Yeah, they think you've had one too many. You're on a teeter-totter.
You mentioned Alice, and this is, I just want you to just settle a point for me, because a friend of mine, he's an architect, and he maintains he did a plan of the Brady household.
Yes.
And he reckons that there is no way possible there could have been a room for Alice. He says he's done all the floor plans upstairs and downstairs, and Alice used to wander out every so often going, where have you been? Oh, I've just been in the room. And well, he maintains there couldn't have been. Now, I need a response.
Well, let me tell you something, guys. You know that the Brady Bunch in all of these years have never gone to the bathroom.
Is that right?
We actually, that's why I have that pained expression on my face a lot on the show. No, Alice never went to the bathroom. We never went to the bathroom. And another fascinating thing I want you to ask your architect friend, which was pointed out to me, and I never thought about this, but when they show the house at the beginning of the show, does that look like a two-story house to you? No.
Yes, he's busy with the Alice problem. There's the big one.
But where's our upstairs? That's what I want to know.
I reckon the shot they should have cut to from outside should have been something like, you know, just a picture of, say, the Amityville Horror.
This is your captain,
Martin Malloy.
And Florence Henderson still with us today on Martin Malloy. Florence, I understand you're a bit of a Silverchair fan. Is that correct?
Yes, and you know what? I do a show in the States which just started with my daughter. She's beautiful. I wouldn't let her near you guys. But in any case, it's called Our Generations, and I just left taping 20 shows to come here to Australia. Mm-hmm. And our sound man said, you've got to do me one favor. And I said, what's that? He said, you've got to bring me back a CD of Silverchair.
Have you seen them in action?
No, I have not. Have you?
Yeah, it's pretty much like, well, it's Mr. Silverchair and he's bringing up three boys of his own. It's pretty much like that.
That sounds like a good idea for a series. Here's a story of a guy named Silverchair.
It's a fantastic show if you get to see them. They come out and they just rock like nobody's business for about half an hour. Then they go off stage and they come back and they do a BMX display. It's fantastic. Maybe something you can incorporate in the act yourself.
You're singing the tune there, Florence. You ever been lying in bed asleep at night and just not been able to get that tune out of your head?
Well, I tell you, sometimes, I'll tell you an interesting story about that tune. I hosted Live at the Improv. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's mm-hmm. a famous comedy show in the States. And so I was the host, and I had to do, you know, like a monologue and all that, and I got a lot of laughs, and then I mm-hmm. would introduce the comics. So this one comic came out, and he said, I want to show a demonstration here. And he said, I want everybody to sing our national anthem. So they started out, oh, say, can you see by the... And then people started dropping out. They didn't know the words and they weren't sure. He said, okay, now I want to try another experiment. He goes, here's a story of a lovely lady. Well, they sang everything. He said, now stop. And then he would pick it up, you know, anywhere in the song, and the audience knew every word.
That's great.
That's kind of a sad commentary on America, isn't it?
Yeah, at the Atlanta Olympics, right. when there's a gold medalist on the podium, I reckon as the flag goes up the pole, that's what we should be hearing. Now, you live on a boat, Florence.
I do. My husband and I live on an 87-foot Sharp DeFever is the design of the boat.
Whoa.
And we live in Marina Del Rey, California. And we just wish that we could have sailed her over and put her in the Sydney Harbour.
Mm. And where did you come up with that idea? Was it after, say, one of your appearances on the Love Boat?
You guys know everything.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that I hold the record for the most guest appearances on that show?
You are joking. I would have thought it would have been Ricardo Montalban or George Hamilton or maybe Adam West.
Or Bill Bixby.
No. It's I hold the record and then Charo is second. Coochie. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. And probably if I'd done more coochie, I would have done more shows, but... You know,
and is life on the Henderson boat anything like the Love Boat, Florence?
Well, actually, it's like living in a triplex apartment, but you can untie. If you don't like your neighbors, you just untie and sail away and say goodbye.
So you and your husband aren't there in hammocks like the Skipper and Gilligan?
No.
Okay.
We have beds. We do have a problem, though. That's another thing, you know, talking about bathrooms. People forget that the systems on boats are slightly different from apartments or hotels. And I had this friend come in, and she said, oh, Florence, I have to use the bathroom. I said, fine, go ahead. And she goes down, and all of a sudden I hear... She's yelling for help, and we go down, and she didn't give me time to explain that it was a vacuum flush, and so she flushed while sitting on the loo, and she pulled the thing, and it sucked her right into the...
that's the number one killer in the world.
That's the killer, and you know, we haven't been able to get rid of Helen ever since. She's part of our boat.
Okay. Well, on that charming note, I'm afraid we're going to have to sign off with you now, Florence.
Mm. Oh, well, you guys, I wish you'd come over here, you know... Next Thursday, I'll be at North Sydney Leagues on the 26th, and then Friday at Rudy Hill, and then I'm heading to
Twin Towns.
To Twin Towns, thank you.
On Saturday the 28th.
Coolangatta, I love to say that.
It's very nice.
Spell it for me real fast.
COOLANGATC. There's a fan.
You're wrong. You lose. Ringing of the merry, lovely girl.
Thanks, Florence.
Hey, you guys are great. Thanks. I long to meet you.
Okay, good luck with the shows.
Thanks a million.
You gotta be kidding.
All the gags, the really weak ones we didn't have time for, we pack them into the Martin Molloy Comedy Incinerator and send them south. And of course, as we know, it's brought to us by the Army.
The Edge.
The Army, the Edge, that's right. So let's get started.
All right, lads, put some pants on and do your country proud.
Yes, sir!
By the right, quick.
Okay, start the clock, Gracie. And I'm afraid our studio audience haven't shown up today for the incinerator.
Right.
There was one too many John Wayne Bobber jokes in last week's, I think. So instead, sitting in, we've got Ernie Sigley. And now let's get things underway. Firstly, Sting's financial advisor, Keith Moore, was this week jailed after being found guilty of stealing from the rock star. Police who raided his London apartment found over $2 million in cash, a quantity of hair, and a valuable China plate, which he apparently swiped from the mouth of that Brazilian rainforest bloke.
Yes, and staying with financial news, magician David Copperfield is among the stars who have allegedly been conned out of more than $300,000 after investing the money in business deals that never took place. Copperfield apparently is devastated, and to make up the huge loss, may have to go without hair care products for a week.
Oh, thanks, Ernie. In Washington this week, there was disagreement over the actual number of people attending Big Lou Farrakhan's Million Man March. Official estimates... What's going on with the clock? Official estimates numbered the crowd at only 400,000. However, it was later revealed these estimates were made by Steffi Graf's dad. What was that? We're going into a song, are we? You've pulled a premature end to the incinerator. Oh, it's not over yet, buddy. Hollywood lovebirds Antonio Banderas and Melanie Griffiths have been given the world's first steamiest couple award. They were given the nod ahead of Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, and in third place came Pavarotti's butt cheeks.
Oh, Ernie's enjoying himself if nobody else is.
O.J. Simpson was enjoying his freedom this week, returning to the golf course for the first time in over a year. Said a fellow club member, his putting skills are a bit rusty, but he's got a pretty mean slice.
Probably.
Oh, you like that one, Ernie?
Thanks, Ern. I think that's time, Gracie. Fire up the incinerator. As always, a fittingly shambolic end to another week of Martin Molloy. And we must thank our guests, Florence Henderson, Saddam Hussein, and all our valiant gladiators.
On you, gladiator heads.
As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie.
On you, Gracie.
Our assistant, Emma.
Emma.
All the network button pushers.
Pushing buttons.
The woman who does the voices we just can't. Kath Garrett.
On your Kath.
And the man in the glass booth, the chairman of the voiceover booth, Pete Smith.
The Pete Meister!
Next week, people, our guests include Morgan Freeman, Raymond J. Bartholomew. Well, thank God it's a short list. And the big man himself, Lucky Grills.
The Grill Meister! How do you like him? Easy over.
So until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Molloy, baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.